people are weird. All right. Yeah, here's our illustration for the day. People, right? I mean, people are weird, and I want to begin that, as a great country song says, you know, God is great, and there's good, and people are crazy, you know, like that's, right? I knew somebody would say amen to that, right? We run into crazy people and weird people. And we say that, and then you have to stop and say, what does that really mean? What are we saying when we say statements like that? I think what it means is this: I don't understand people, and you don't understand people who don't act and think and live and believe and like the same things as me, right? Like, so I run into those kinds of people, and I think, man, they are weird, right? They're crazy. I went to New York one time. I don't think I need to go back, right? Like, I know that, you know, some of you love it enough that you'd live there, or you'd like to visit there. I went one time, and it was culture shock for me. Everybody there wore black and gray. I stood out like a sore thumb. Yeah, I've got all my bright colored pink shirts, and people just stared at me like I had a third ear growing from my forehead. I just didn't fit in New York. I don't own enough black trench coats is what I felt like. People were staring. And the culture here, and I've never met a stranger, you know. So whether I know you or don't know you, I'll wave at you going down the road. And I just throw my hand up, and some of you do that too. And you don't have to know somebody to wave at them, do you? I mean, right? I mean, y'all, anybody else do that, or is it just me? I'm the weird guy waving at everybody. You just wave at everybody, especially if your hand is out and you're doing the wind thing, you know, and you just turn it into a wave when you pass somebody, like, what's up? And you go back to the hand dancing, right? So y'all do that. And up there, so I go, and I'm with a bunch of other guys, and we're all just as country and southern as each other. And so we get done and we're leaving, and there's like 2 or 3 days left on my subway pass. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to use this thing, and paid money for it, and I bet somebody'd like to have it. You know, we tried to give those things away to 5 or 6 different people, and people walked away from us. And like, I thought one lady almost threatened to shoot me because I was trying to give her 2 or 3 days of free subway access. And I thought, people are weird. Culture is weird. Culture is strange, and I don't want to go. I don't care to ever go back to New York. Give me the woods any day of the week over that place. I don't need to ever go back. Sorry, honey. We're not taking a trip to New York anytime soon. But Mike and Kristen go every year, and maybe Pastor Mike will take you and pay for it. That would be awesome. It's culture shock, and we talk about people being different than us, and we talk about people being strange. There's certain things that come to mind, but here's where I want us to kind of focus in for today, because we know what that means to know somebody's different. But what about when we talk about ourselves? And maybe more specifically, we talk about ourselves being Christians or being followers of Christ. Like, because we say that, a bunch of us, especially, you know, the first service is the saved service, right? The second service is all the heathens. You guys, y'all come to this one because you're the saved people, and you get up early and come to church, and you're the good awestruck crowd. The bad one comes in at 11. And we talk about ourselves being Christians and following Christ. What does that mean? Should we be different from the world? Should we be a little bit weird? That's the question we have to ask. Should we be a little bit weird to somebody who's not following Christ? Should we? And then the question is, should we be part of an unchristian world? Or should we separate ourselves completely? Have you ever thought about this? Have you think about how you're answering this with your actions before we get into this? Statistically, according to an article last year in the New York Daily News, 19.6% of Americans, that's 46 million people roughly, are not affiliated with any religious group. There's 46 million people, 19.6, almost 20% of people in America are purposely not affiliated with any religious group. Okay? Another statistic tells us this, that 1 out of 5 Americans claim that they don't even know a Christian in their life. 1 out of 5 Americans claim that they don't even know anybody in their life. We're not talking about people who claim Christianity, but they say, oh, they say they're a Christian, but they don't act like it. We're talking about just in general, 1 out of 5, 20% of people in America don't even know somebody who claims to be a Christian, that who acts that like they're a Christian, 1 in 5. Now, this is interesting statistics. We're starting a new series today called All About the Numbers. And this is our numbers for today. 20% of Americans purposely don't choose to not be affiliated with a religious organization. And almost, and right at 20%, and I don't know how these two combine. I don't know how these two go together, if they're the same people or not. I think it's two separate studies. That there's about 20% who claim they don't even know a Christian. This is sad to me, and this is why it's sad. Because the numbers, it's not just that it's at 20%, it's the increase of the numbers. Of those 20%, of those 1 in 5 who say that they're not affiliated with any religious organization, that number increased 5% from 2011 to 2012. The numbers haven't come out that I could find for 2013 yet. So in late 2012, this number comes out, and there was a 5% increase. So it went from 15% to 20%, the highest it's ever been in America, of those who say they're not purposely affiliated with a religious organization. And these numbers say that 20% don't even know a Christian. I mean, we're in America. Like, this is culture shock. To me, this is a little bit mind-boggling. This is kind of like me traveling to New York and trying to give my Subway card away. Not Subway, the place you eat. Subway, the thing you ride, right? I'm trying to give away free Subway rides, and people won't take it because they don't trust anybody. And down here, there have been a line, right? If I'm giving away something free, people come to everything we do that's free. And it's this culture shock that when I hear that somebody in America, not another country where there's no church, in America, doesn't even know somebody in their life that's a Christian, well, this is kind of staggering to me. The question then is, what is our role? Like, if this is an issue, then what's our role? Why should and how should we concern ourselves? What does the Bible say about our call then to reach these people? Okay? And so there's this calling, there's a problem, and what does the Bible then say? If there's people who aren't following Jesus, how then do we reach these people? Well, as Christians, I want you to see this calling, and it's going to float through our entire message today. There's a calling that's been placed on the lives of God's people, and it's this, that you are to be set apart and that you are to make known. And I want you to see that, and we're going to look at that scripturally from the beginning to now, but that you've been set apart and that you are called to make known. All right? And look at what Jesus' last instructions in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to who? Everyone. All right? And then in Acts 1, 8, we see the recap of this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, and after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. I think it's very clear that we have a role to play in people coming to know Jesus as a Savior. This is very clear. Jesus didn't leave anything out. He left all of his followers then, and us now. He left all of his followers with specific instructions. Go spread the gospel to everyone. So then the question is, what role do I play? What role do you play in showing the world the love of Jesus? To see that, because you know I can be, and Mike, Pastor Mike feeds this, a theology and history geek, and I get that way sometimes. So let's go back to the beginning. Go to the book of Genesis, and we won't be there long, but in the book of Genesis, we see this first calling to be set apart and to make known. And it's through Abraham. As far as I can tell you, it's the first time we see this evangelistic call. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, just 1 through 3. It says, the Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Here's the call. Be set apart. This is the first calling to leave what's comfortable to you and go into the unknown. Go into this land that I'm going to show you. Verse 2, I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. Verse 3, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And watch this. Here's the call. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. By being set apart and making known, then all families will be blessed. And we know that this promise comes true when Jesus shows up. Jesus fulfilled this promise, but this begins a theme that we see throughout the Old Testament. It's an expectation of a coming Messiah that's going to restore God's people, but he's also going to bring all nations and all people to salvation. This is where we see it. And so the entire Old Testament shows us this expectation. And the nation of Israel was called to be set apart. They were called to be holy. They were called to be different priests and priestesses. And they were set apart. But not, they weren't just called to that. In Exodus 19:6, we see that. And you'll be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. And this is the message you must give to the people of Israel. That you're set apart. You're a holy nation. But it was bigger than that. Israel was called to be blessed, and they were called to be set apart, and they were called to proclaim the glory of God to all nations. And what we see in the Old Testament is this expectation that there's a coming Messiah, that God is coming so he can restore us, and so that all people can come. And we see kings from other nations coming and proclaiming, your God is the one true God, because of the nation of Israel, because of the way the children of Israel responded. We see people, there's example after example after example that the prophet would speak and people would respond. And then we see this desire that all the world would worship. Look at Psalm chapter 67. History geeks love this, and those who don't, I'll get to the more exciting stuff here in a minute. Psalm chapter 67, verse 1, it says, may God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. To be set apart, right? To be blessed, to be a holy nation. May his favor and his smile shine on us. May your ways be known, but watch this, may your ways be known throughout the earth. Your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy, because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the world. See, Israel's intended to be blessed, but they're also intended to be a blessing to the nations around them. Hear this, and this is what, this is speaking of the children of Israel, but hear this and let it touch your heart this morning. God's people should have a desire. God's people should have a desire. This is speaking to the nation of Israel, but hear this morning. God's people should have a desire and a will that they recognize that life in the covenant of God is good, and they want everybody to know it. This is not a selfish religion. This is a giving religion. This is a relationship with Christ that then has an impact on the people around you. And God's people should have a desire for everyone to know. So I'm speaking to the nation of Israel, but I'm about to get to you. And some of you who are ready for this history lesson to end, you're going to want to go back to the history lesson when this starts nailing you. Somebody last week said, you messed up my pedicure. You stepped on my toes. And if you know me well enough, I'm not looking to step on toes. I like breaking kneecaps. I believe when the Spirit of God convicts that he gets over more than our toes. And I think today, this is one of those messages, I hope it befuddles you as much as it did me to study this week, and it convicts you as much as it did to study this week, is am I living out this call? Because he goes on, and they were intended that God's people should have a desire that if I'm living life in the covenant, the new covenant, then I should want everybody to want that. I should want everybody to know that. We're called to be set apart, but also to make known. And then in the New Testament, we see all these prophecies and all these accounts and all the expectations and the promises, they're fulfilled by who? Jesus. Jesus shows up and he fulfills everything the Savior and the Messiah was supposed to do. He provides forgiveness and he provides reconciliation, and all of God's people are drawn to God, all God's people are drawn to him through Jesus, through the Messiah, and there's this new covenant that takes place. And through the new covenant, we see that there are blessings, there are promises, there is forgiveness of sin, there is reconciliation with God, but it's not just restricted to the people of Israel. So when Jesus shows up, he makes the new covenant. And before he ascended, we just read it, but Mark 16:15, he says, go into the world and preach the good news to who? Everyone. Mark 16:15. Speed readers, if you're looking at the screen, that was good. To everyone. Go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. Jesus shows up and he says, the covenant hasn't changed very much, except for now it's not restricted just to the people of Israel. The promise and the blessing and the expectation is not just for the children of Israel. Now you're all God's people. Preach it to everyone. And so what did the apostles do? The disciples, the apostles, they went preaching. And they did just what Jesus said. They went into Samaria and Judea and the surrounding areas and to the ends of the earth. And they went preaching. And here's what happened. People from all different cultures, people from all different backgrounds, people of all races, people of all everything started responding, both the Jews and the Samaritans, the Greeks and the Romans, and people, everybody responded. They went and said, Jesus died on the cross so you can be saved and you need to accept this. And people went, yes. The new covenant provided the promise, the fulfillment of the promise, and then it gave us this challenge to be set apart and to make known, and it expanded being set apart. It expanded to make known to all of us who would come to become God's people. The new covenant that found in Jesus, it was different. It was different than the covenant that was given to Abraham, but certain things never changed. And I want you to see that. There were certain things that never changed. Believers are still called out. You and I are still called out to be a holy people, a holy nation. But we're still called to live a life in a world that's holy. We're to be blessing. We're to be salt. We're to be light, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. We're to everybody around us, we're to expose Jesus. This is the original calling of Abraham, wasn't it? Leave everything. Go to the place I'm going to show you, and through you, all families will be blessed. The calling didn't change. It's the calling of Abraham that now extends to you and I when we come to Christ as our Savior. It still applies today. It applies more effectively today because now we have the words of Jesus saying, go to everyone and preach the gospel. This is our calling. This is what we're supposed to do. Jesus' first words to his disciples made it very clear, didn't he? What did he call them to do? You're always so scared I'm going to change the answer and trick you. I'm not. It's not a trick question. He called them to be what? Fishers of men. Come and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you evangelists here on this world. And in Matthew 5:16, he said, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise who? Your heavenly Father. Live your life in such a way that people see God. And then Paul, and I love the teachings of Paul and Peter, but Paul talks to us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, and he challenges us to stand out from the world. Why? For the sake of Christ. Remember I said people are weird? And when we say people are weird, it means they believe differently than me, and they live differently than me, they act differently than me, they speak differently than me. Paul, I think, is saying to us, be weird. And he gives this warning of not blending in. And I want you to see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. That is just there for free. I wanted you just to see that, and because you can use that with your children later this afternoon. And that's why we don't have business meetings at our church, because Paul said, do everything without complaining and argument. And I've never been to a business meeting that didn't have that. So anyway, that's free, and I wanted you to see it. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Verse 15, though, is why I wanted to read this verse, so that no one can criticize you. Listen, it says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. You think Paul didn't know what was going on? I mean, back then, what they call crooked and perverse is probably pretty tame to what Miley Cyrus did last Sunday night, right? I mean, we live in a world that is accepting of some stuff that would have made my grandmother blush. It makes me blush. We live in a world that, like, I remember growing up, Victoria's Secret catalog was considered pornography. And we had to sneak them. They had to sneak them. Right? You with me? Like, we live in a world that just in my short time here on this earth, I've already seen a slip so far that like what used to be considered pornography, the Sears catalog, Victoria's Secret, like we had to close our eyes walking by there. And I continue that tradition today. If we're at Target or Walmart or the mall, I tell Micah, close your eyes. I don't even want him to look at that stuff, not on people. You know, I'm like, I'm protecting this poor little innocent mind as long as I can, which is sad because he probably knows more than I know. He's just smart enough not to tell me. But we walk by and I still go, close your eyes. I'll tell you when you can open them again. We're not looking at the underpants of women, right, that we don't know. And you can walk by. And what was then considered pornography when I was growing up is like considered standard dress code on the VMAs now. And I know I sound like an old fogey, but I also know you're a bunch of old fogies in here too, and you agree with me. The world is crooked, and the world is perverse, and what's accepted as normal social standard now would have blown my mind growing up. Can you imagine what he was saying to them? In a world that is crooked, and in a world that is perverse, and in a world that has taken the boundaries of what is okay and stretched them to a point that they're offensive, we ought to shine like stars that are bright, extremely bright. We expose darkness with our light. And Paul says, live a life that's blameless. Live a life that's pure. Live a life that's holy. And don't expect the people around you to fit into your mold. Be a little bit weird, right? People are weird. And weird people think and act and do and believe and speak differently than I do. Paul said, let's get a little bit weird in this world. Let's look differently than a world that's crooked and a world that's perverse. And we go forward and we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter then reminds us of the old calling. Remember the calling to be set apart? And to make known the covenant made with Abraham that then Jesus fulfilled and expanded for us today. And for, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, as we close, it says, verse 9 says, you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Does that sound familiar? We just read it, right? We read it all the way back here up in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And he says to the prophet, you will be my kingdom, my priest, my holy nation. That's in Exodus chapter 19. 1 Peter chapter 2 then repeats that. You are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And so we're set apart. But look what he says. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. That we are set apart. And we are to make known the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you're God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Verse 12, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and do what? Pat you on the back for being a good neighbor? They'll see how you act and how you behave and how you live and how you speak, and they'll give honor to God when he judges the world. We're to be set apart. We like that part, don't we? I have my church, my scripture, my preacher, my small group. I like being set apart. I'm going to heaven and you're not. And we don't act that childish, but don't internally, we kind of, that's how we feel. I got Jesus, good luck on that. We're to be set apart, and there's no denying that. You're set apart, a royal, holy, chosen priesthood, and yet we're also to make known. And there, see this consistent picture that's painted from the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament, that God's people are chosen. God's people are called out of this world. We're foreigners, we're strangers, but we're also called to live a holy life. Why? As a result of being called out, we then live a holy life for the sake of seeing others repent. For the sake of seeing others know the goodness of God. For the sake of seeing others know the love and the forgiveness of God. We've been called to be different. If you hadn't written anything down and you're waiting for the notes, and here it is. We're called to be different so that we can make a difference. And I told you there was one good line for the whole sermon, and that was it. All right, but I had to give you Abraham and children of Israel to get to the point so we could be on the same page. You've been called to be different so that you can make a difference. Hear that. let it soak in, because I want to make it, I want you to know that this is very personal. One out of five people in America say they don't even know a Christian. One out of five. I mean, that, now, we could, I'm a glass half full kind of guy, you know. I'm always glass half full. I took my Gallup Strength Finders positivities in there. I live with the positivity. The house could be burning down, and we would find every reason that it was still a good thing. You know, like we're positive people. It drives some people crazy, but that's how we are. We're glass half full kind of people. And so I could very quickly flip that around and go, how awesome is it that four out of five people in America know a Christian? 80% of Americans know a Christian. But my heart breaks that we live in the Bible Belt, and I want to imagine this survey included people who live right here in the Bible Belt. And they would say that they don't even know a Christian. I think what really burdens my heart is if we were to stretch that and take it deeper and say, how many of you actually know somebody not only who just claims a Christianity, but that lives it like they're supposed to, that represents it like they're supposed to? I think this number would drastically change. Because we're not talking about people who are friends with a Christian or somebody who claims Christian. We're talking about they don't even know somebody in their life that does. How many people out there know somebody who claims Christianity, but they don't see any evidence of it? I mean, to the world, we're supposed to be weird. And the sad reality is that these people who claim they don't know a Christian, they probably do. The sad reality in America, they're probably surrounded by them and don't even know it. And I can't understand why it is that so many would accept the grace and the cross and the forgiveness and the heaven, and yet we forget that we're supposed to accept the call. And the call is to be set apart. The call is to make known. It's to be different so we can make a difference. Because one out of five say, I work, go to school, go eat at restaurants, and I don't even think I know anybody in my life who is a Christian or claims Christianity. And the question is, how well are you following this call? I mean, you have this call. Christians in here, you have this call. You can't say, well, that's for other people. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could, like, accept the whole Jesus thing? Remember last week we said we can't take the good advice without taking the Jesus? I would also say you can't take the salvation, the grace, the love, the payment for sin and the promise of an eternal heaven. You can't take those things without accepting the call. It's a package deal. You know, you can't have it. We bought a new car in November, and I wanted the car. But then they sent me this little packet, right? And they wanted me to send checks with it. No, I'm good. I'll just give me the car. We'll take that. Right? There's a package deal that I got the car, and she gets to drive it all the time. I get to watch her drive it. It's fun. But they also sent these little payment slips that they want me to send back to them every month. There was this package deal that came with it. Are you with me? And sometimes we want to take Jesus, and we like the grace. We like the forgiveness of sins. We like the promise of heaven. But the other stuff inconveniences us, so we just pretend like they called somebody else to do that. Every one of us who accepts Christ accepts the fact that we've been set apart and we've been called to make known. And so how well are you doing with that? Do the people in your world know that you're set apart? Is there anything different about your life than the people you work with, in your family, at the shopping mall, at the restaurant? Is there anything different about your life than the ones who you know don't claim Christianity, don't claim anything? And are you living a life that's different? Have you made a difference? One in five say no. And I hope and pray that in my world, that those people don't exist. Whether they like what I say or not, they're going to know what I believe. I hope and pray that in your world, your little community, I hope and pray that those people don't exist. You have been called to be different so that you can make a difference. Let me pray for us.